This is Alicia Barmer. The date is March 31st, 2016, and I'm in Reno, Nevada with Tammy Bourdais to conduct an interview for the Midtown History Project, sponsored by the RTC. So, Tammy, do I have your permission to record this interview and make it available to the public?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I want to start by getting a little bit of background on you. Can you just tell me a little bit about where you were born and raised?
I was born and raised in Southern California. I then moved up to Northern California, and I became a police officer. Well, I was a police officer in Southern California as well. Then I moved up to Northern California as a police officer with another department, and then I got injured on duty, and I have family that's been here for almost, I think we're on our 11th generation. So I actually, when I got injured, moved closer to family.
And did you, at that point, immediately think about going into business for yourself?
Yes. Actually, when I was injured and I was in my apartment, I'd read the San Francisco Chronicle every single day. And because I was stuck in my apartment. And I could have sworn that the chocolate walrus was for sale at the time in the San Francisco Chronicle. When I came here, it just happened to be my cousin was getting married. And so I bought stuff from the chocolate walrus. And I said, I thought I saw an ad in the paper in the San Francisco Chronicle that you were selling this. And she said, no, but if somebody offered me the right amount of money, I'll take it. And I said, what's the right amount of money? And she said this, and I said, it's sold. So 3 days later, I handed her the cash, and I owned a business.
And what year was that?
That was 2004, I want to say. I'm guessing. 2004, I'm guessing.
And that was located where it is now?
No, it was actually on Grove Street. And I shut it down for a month, and I got this place in the meantime, and I had to, take down the horrible, wallpaper and the horrible god-awful carpeting and do all that, take care of all that, and just start moving things in about a month later.
And what's the address of this storefront, the Chocolate Walrus?
The Chocolate Walrus is at 1278 South Virginia Street.
Okay. What was in it immediately prior to that you needed to renovate from?
It was apparently an antique shop as well. Because my neighbors at the time were both antique shops. And they actually have the carpeting down in the basement level was actually from Caesars in Tahoe.
Oh.
Yeah, and it actually had like the little Caesar, in it. It was kind of cool, but it was pretty gross. So it all got dumped.
Did you look at other locations? Or what attracted you to this location?
I did. I looked at all the areas. I looked at a lot in this area. I knew it had a lot of potential and it needed needed some love.
What else were in the surrounding storefronts at the time? Do you recall?
There was the antique mall across the street at the time. And they had Julie's next door. And then I think her name was Karen or Kathy. They had the other antique store on the other side of me. The statewide lighting was there. And I just liked the statewide lighting look. I liked how there was, I was surrounded by antiques. And I kind of wanted to blend in with that area. So that's why I liked this and chose it. And it was a fit.
Do you know how long the Chocolate Walrus had been in business before that?
Okay. Well, I was misunderstood about the building here, so I might be misunderstood. Okay, I've done some I've actually met three of the four. I'm the fourth owner, and I met three of the, I met the original owner. The only one I haven't met is the second owner, and she did pass. And they actually came into the Chocolate Walrus, and when she did pass, and they, asked if we can be part of her memory. The party that they throw afterwards. And I said, absolutely, we'd love to. I've been trying to get a hold of her. And I found out that she was very sick and very ill. Mm-hmm. So I want to say we were in downtown Reno. And at that time, the lady that opened the shop, she made the X-rated chocolates. And she was antiquing with her lover at the time. She was a lesbian. And she saw this display of walruses, and she goes, I'm going to name it the Chocolate Walrus. She bought a walrus, and she ended up having a collection of walruses throughout the store, and I have one piece of that collection. And when I was in Vegas, I ran into her, and she came up to me at a show, and she's like, oh my God. And we talked, and we had a great, her name was Cynthia, and we had a really, really great conversation, and she brought me articles, how they literally protested her. She had a Catholic priest out there protesting out there with the picket signs back in the day, and I want to say she was at like 3 or 8 Virginia Street is where she was, somewhere in there. Okay. 300 Virginia Street, I want to say, is the address.
So maybe somewhere on the east side?
Yes.
Where there's smaller storefronts?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And I have never been able to find it, you know, but it was, and the story she was telling me was absolutely fantastic with the picketing, but she goes, but the picketing, she said, gave her a lot of advertising. She goes, it worked in my behalf. And, so anyway, she had sold the business to another lady, the one that lady that passed away. And, because she was moving down to Vegas at the time. But when Cynthia owned it, she would bring in, Chippendales in the '80s. She would bring them to Reno.
Oh,
yeah.
And they would perform in a casino.
Yeah, she would have it set up. I don't know where they performed, but they performed. And she said it was a wild, fun time. Everybody, the town, the girl, the women of the town just loved it. A little scandalous, but a little fun. And it was the 80s. And so anyways, and then she sold to another lady that moved it to Old Town Mall. Okay. And that was the lady that passed away. Okay. And that lady ended up selling it to Doreen. And that's the lady that Doreen is the lady I bought it from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it always have the same kind of inventory? I mean, it had the chocolates. Did it exclusively have that or did it have other things
too?
Well,
we manufactured chocolates.
Yeah.
So somebody's always made it here that owned the business. So it was Cynthia that made it originally. And I know Doreen made them. And then I brought in my mother to make the chocolates as well. So somebody always made them because it connected with the name, the Chocolate Walrus.
Right.
And yeah, I guess we've taken the inventory in a whole different direction since I've owned it. But yeah, from what I understand, what I've been told, yes.
So what was there to learn about chocolate making?
What was there to learn about everything? Everything. everything. Absolutely everything. I found people to become, that were very prejudiced. People wouldn't wash my windows because of what we sell and what we do. And our chocolate's chocolate, for crying out loud. Because he had saw a chocolate penis. And I'm like, it's chocolate. Because it was right up front. And he goes, I don't care. I'm like, okay. It's been a wonderful journey. It really has been to see. But there's been some, you know, peaks and valleys. And it's just been a great learning experience. It's been wonderful.
So for many years, you just had the one business, the Chocolate Walrus.
The Chocolate Walrus, and then this, and when I bought from Doreen, I got the Sierra Nevada Chocolate Company for free. And it was actually named Sierra Chocolate Company. And it was out of Gardnerville, from what I understand. So I got the Chocolate Walrus, and I got Sierra Chocolate Company as well. Because she incorporated that, she got it out of a bankruptcy and she just put it in with her business. So I got the whole kit and caboodle when I bought it. So, and it was so funny. We were selling chocolate to a couple florists in town. And I love this one florist. And it was so funny. They sent over a customer of theirs. And this is old Reno. And she came in. She must have been in her late 70s. She was drooping with diamonds. And she walked into the Chocolate Walrus, which, of course, is an adult boutique. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. She goes, oh, honey, it's a good cocktail story. She goes, so-and-so florist sent me over here. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. But she goes, oh, don't worry. It's a cocktail story. And I go, true, it is. And she goes, I need some of your flops. And I go, flops of what? And she goes, flops of your butterscotch. She goes, it's so fabulous, my butterscotch chocolate. And I'm like, I don't have flops. And I go, but I'll make you some. and she came in for a couple of years and was a great customer. And she was just a doll. And she continuously came in for our chocolate.
So did the chocolate company have its own storefront when you
acquired it? At the time,
it didn't.
It actually was downstairs of the Chocolate Walrus. It was a very small unit, you know. I mean, we didn't require anything, you know, much. And then the neighbors then the antique store went out of business. She was retiring. And then a lighting company came in. And they went through some family hard times. The couple ended up getting a divorce and they needed to be bought out of the lease. And so that's when we took that over.
Is that the storefront on the end?
No, that is the one directly next door to the Chocolate Walrus.
Okay.
That is south of Chocolate Walrus. So we took over that and we were there for about 3 years. And then the Chinese people that were even south of that, so two south of Chocolate Walrus, they got evicted. Okay, so we took over that place, and that's when we moved the Sierra Nevada Chocolate Company. We changed the name from Sierra Chocolate Company to Sierra Nevada Chocolate Company, and we took it and we moved it next door, two stores down from the Chocolate Walrus.
Do you remember when that was about?
Chris would know. I want to say 7 years ago? 6 years? Sounds good to me.
Okay.
We'll go with seven.
So the chocolate company was supplying candy to a lot of different entities at that time?
We wholesale out the back door to all across the United States, into Canada, Mexico. And then, of course, to our own store, making it truly the name Chocolate Walrus. Because we do all the fun candies, you know, for bachelorettes and birthdays and get-wells. And anybody can send flowers, but who can send a booby basket? Yeah, especially, you know, it makes it really fun. It makes it very, very fun.
And then having a storefront for Sierra Nevada chocolate then gave you a whole new audience.
Yeah, right? It did. It gave us a whole new audience. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's when we started doing the non-rated chocolates, our truffles and our barks and our caramel apples and our chocolate covered bananas, and the list goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Now we sell coffee and we're looking to even expand it even more now.
Yeah, I saw it has wireless, so you're encouraging people to linger.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to give it an upbeat look. We're looking into upgrading our look even now. So we're really excited about that.
And how much of the basements of those spaces were open to the public? Was anything open to the public at that point, or was it all office space?
Okay, so
for any of those?
For the Chocolate Walrus, we always had from day one, it was inventory downstairs. And then our costume started the very first year I opened, which was August 1st. Okay. I love costumes. Okay. And so I brought in some costumes and we did so well with it. The following year, I did more costumes, but by the third year we needed to expand. And so that's when I opened up the basement by the third year, of all the costumes downstairs. And it was funny because I have a job, I have a coach now for my, a business coach. And she's like, I never knew you had costumes. And it's so funny to me because we've had costumes now. We've had costumes from day one. And we've had 1,600 square feet of costumes literally by the second year that we were in business. Yeah. And so it's very funny to me that people didn't know that we had costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So God rest her soul, when Julie passed away, that's when we expanded to her space.
Julie had the north.
The North storefront. And Julie was here for 20 years and she was absolutely fabulous. She was just amazing. She knew everybody in town. And because she had originally started in downtown Reno and then 20 years later moved to here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know her last name?
You know I don't.
I'll look it up. I'll try to find out.
I don't.
And then I saw that it also had a sign that said Eileen's Attic. Do you know what that was?
Yes. Yes. Oh, Julie and Eileen were best friends. Okay. And they were truly like Lucy and Ethel. Okay. And I used to call them Lucy, Ethel. I used to come out and I would run away. When I ran away during the day, I'd run over here to just because they were like having the neighbors, Lucy and Ethel. They were so fabulous, so kind, just absolutely amazing people. And I just adored them to death. And Eileen, unfortunately, got before Julie, Eileen had to quit because she got cancer. And it was can I tell you a story?
Please.
Oh my God, it's going to be the best story of the world. It's going to probably make me cry. Okay, this is truly tells you the type of people that they were that was this area. So Julie and Eileen were in business, like I said, for 20 years. So a year before Julie died, Eileen got really sick. A year and a half, I'm going to say. Eileen, it was Christmas time, and she wasn't supposed to make it. And we all kind of, like the whole neighbor kind of got together and got her husband, who was Charlie, who's still alive, okay, some hospice care because he didn't know about hospice. Kind of like the whole kind of like little track here kind of helped out, you know. And Julie was in her bed and bedbound, and she called up Eileen, okay, and Eileen was bedbound, called Julie. Okay, and said, can you do me a favor? Can you go to Walmart and get Charlie some jeans? Okay, for Christmas. He loves these jeans from Walmart. Can you please get him these jeans so he has a present to open for Christmas? Because we didn't expect her to live for Christmas. Well, at the beginning of Christmas, myself and some other people in this neighborhood belong to a charity club. And I broached it to this group of people and I said, hey, Charlie really needs some help with some finances because, you know, Eileen's daughter is back east. Can we like pinch in? So we pitched in $500, gave it to Charlie as a Christmas gift. Okay, so Charlie ended up having some extra money, which meant Eileen had extra money. So Eileen, as soon as she found out about this extra money, called up Julie, okay, to go get these pair of pants. Well, it was so funny because Charlie ended up bringing down her daughter to see her before she passed. So it was all based on this $500 that started everything. And it was like, and then Julie's like, how the hell did they get money to go get the, I have to go. And you know what it's like at Christmas time to go to Walmart? And she goes, Gina, and I walk over one of my reprieves or hidden days away. And Julie just goes off. And I go, Julie, I'm so sorry. It was me. And she goes, I should make you go to Walmart. And I go, I don't know what jeans those are. And so it's just so cute how it just kind of all circled, you know, and intertwined. And then, but then we lost Eileen. She went right after that, probably about a month later. And then, God, out of nowhere, Julie got sick. But Julie had been sick before. She had cancer twice, lung cancer. And that, my booby chocolate, I guess the doctor would go and put stuff on her chest, and she goes, I need two big chocolate boobs to put on my boobs next time the doctor comes by. I go, I'll supply you some pasties too, sweetheart. And I go, did you do it? She goes, I sure did. She was a prankster. And that's how this neighborhood's always been, you know, and it gives you a sense of it.
Yeah. And so then you moved into that storefront just last year, I think?
This storefront, which is the Julie storefront, right. Yes. Well, when her daughter auctioned off, there was so much stuff, and it ended up having to be, a lot of it had to be auctioned off because of some other stuff that came into play there, and so it ended up having to close very fast, so she didn't have to tack on any more expenses, because there was a lot of expenses in death. And so she brought in an auctioneer, and there was so much stuff. And we moved some, and then afterwards we had to clean. There was peg wall, and then there was my store. There was the chocolate flowers.
So there really was just a thin wall between the two.
A peg wall. You know what peg wall's made out of?
No.
Like chopped up cardboard. I want to think. It wasn't chopped up cardboard. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know what it's made out of, but it's I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So it was just, I'm like, oh, and then, you know, my business coach said, you should take over this place. And, you know, because you spend so much time on Lulu's, that's a couple hours a day you can save time on, and nobody knows you have costumes. I'm like, well, then I talked over to my landlord, and they're just like, yeah, you know, sure, Tammy. So then we did that, and so we pulled it up, and God bless Julie's soul. God bless her to death. She never fixed a damn thing. She jerry-rigged everything. Jerry must be her middle name, okay? And, I mean, it was so funny. Probably about 8 years ago, the actual owners came into town, and it was in the middle of winter, and little old Julie, you know, she was just sitting there with her little floor heater, and that's all. And they walked in there, it was freezing. Well, she didn't have a heater, so they bought her a heater, but the way they had it put in, oh my God, it was crazy. So she just never fixed anything. So we're pulling up this, I don't know, thread of a carpet, and there's the dance floor that we find, that we always hear about this nightclub. And because I have customers that constantly come in about this amazing nightclub that was here. Mm-hmm. And that's all many stories in itself. And I'm like, there's the dance floor!
And was it a wood dance floor?
It was wood. And then, but it was like little pegs of wood. It was really cool. It's still there. We didn't touch it.
Oh, okay.
We just went right over it. And, but and it's very cool. It was just, I'm like, because we always thought it was south of Chocolate Wars, because we hear about these tunnels. The customers would come in and say, oh, there was tunnels and rooms and this, that, and the other. And it's kind of scandalous, very scandalous, you know, the stories that would come in. And we're like, wow, you know, and so it makes sense. We found the tunnels.
So that allowed you to take your costumes out of the basement and move them to the ground floor.
And move them to the ground floor, exactly. And we did not find Jimmy Hoffa. So we thought we were, but we weren't. Didn't.
So that doesn't have a separate name, then. That's just still.
It is. It's going to be the costume shop of Chocolate Walrus.
Okay.
But we just haven't presented it yet, and we're just going to call it the costume shop, and then underneath it of Chocolate Walrus.
Okay. Now, in the meantime, you had also started running a boutique at the end, right? At the south side? You used to?
Yes. We shut that down to open up this.
Okay.
Because our ultimate goal is to open up more Chocolate Walrus stores. Mm-hmm. And there's only one of me. So that my coach said, shut that down. And because my landlord transferred my lease. So that's what we did.
So was that originally called Lulu's? Was that its original name? The one on the end?
When I called it Lulu's, yes.
Okay.
I called it after my mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
So had you purchased, was there already a shop there?
When I moved into Lulu's, the corner shop, which is three shops south of Chocolate Walrus, okay, there was a liquor store there. And he had been there for a couple years, and the problem is that he would sell to all kinds of people. And it just wasn't conducive to the Chocolate Walrus. So that's why I took it and rented it, because I love my landlord to death. But he'd rent it a lot of different people. And so that's why we took that over. And I just, okay, what are we going to put in there? And I had no clue. And so I just did clothes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then prior to the liquor store was a wedding shop. And then prior to the wedding shop, there was another adult store shop. Prior to that, I don't even know.
So you're consolidating a little bit.
Yes, yes, yes. Just trying to, yes.
Now, it sounds like even when you first came here, before there was an idea of a Midtown, was there a little bit of a sense of a community around here of business owners? Or not so
much? Yeah, going back to the Julian and Eileen stories, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Charlie had already snowplowed my sidewalks and stuff. Absolutely. And here's how Midtown started. Being a former police officer and knowing that the area wasn't that good, I knocked on my neighbors. I said, we need to get together and have a meeting all together. And I knocked on the doors, and Chris from Bangkok Cuisine, okay, and Chris from Sushi Pier, all the three of us said, hey, it's a great idea. Let's do this. So we collectively knocked on everybody's door, and then Dee Dee from Sports West, and then Hillary came in, and then Sam came in. So we collectively got together, and I go, you know, let's just find out, you know, what's going on in the neighborhood. If there's going to be let's collectively get together and start something. If I get robbed, I want you to know about it. Or, you know, or, hey, you know, this is what happened with the street issue or whatever. And possibly even, you know, do some advertising together and events together or whatever. This can lead into endless events. And so Chris from Sushi Pier calls me up one day, and he goes, what do you think of the name of Midtown? He goes, there's a Midtown in New York. There's a Midtown here. There's a Midtown there. I go, Midtown it is. That's it. That's what we'll call it. And it was literally that simple. And so that's how it came about.
And did that become a formal business organization?
Yeah. Actually, me and Chris sat down for about 3 hours. Me, Chris, and Chris all sat down and pounded out some bylaws. Okay. And then from there, different groups would pound out, and then our meetings would pound out. For the first year, we literally pounded out the bylaws of what Midtown was supposed to be. And that's literally what happened to get it going. Yeah. Because eventually it grew into what it is today. Mm-hmm. It morphed into this. So it's like a little butterfly.
Do you remember what some of those early bylaws were? What were the things you were most concerned about or thought were important to include?
One of the most important things was to me, and to a lot of people, was to make sure that, because we knew that we wanted to do an association fee type of thing, and we wanted it to be very easy. We didn't want it to be astronomically, but once we started getting everybody enrolled, we wanted to make sure that there wasn't no misappropriation of funds. And so that was one of the issues that we did. So we tried to really make sure that that was safe and secure. And the next thing we did was our boundaries. You know, we went all the way up to the south side of California Street. And then we went all the way down, I want to say we went all the way down to Plum, to the north side of Plum. And then we went one block east and west, we went all the way to the south, or we went all the way to the west side of Wells, and then we went same distance in the west side direction. Mm-hmm. So creating our boundaries was very important, because California Avenue had their own little thing going on. Vassar Street had their own little thing going on. Wells Street. But we didn't want to not include anybody, but we wanted to make it our own. And so basically it was all the businesses that started in the south of town.
It is, but you were always thinking north, too.
I mean, everybody
is. The fact that you went that far north from the very beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were thinking long term, mm-hmm. you know, and there was a lot of people that were involved with it. Like I said, Dee Dee from Sports West, Hillary, Chris from Bangkok, you know, Chris from Sushi Pier, Sam from McConnell's, myself. You know, we were thinking long term and we never wanted to exclude anybody, mm-hmm. you know.
Did you find that the people who were interested in that organization were primarily folks who had established businesses here, like, post 2000?
Oh, matter of fact, I think I even have the original list down around here somewhere. I do. I have the original. Yeah, because what's his name from Miguel? From Miguel's restaurant was involved. What's his name that owns? God, I'm sorry with the names are off the back. The paint fumes are getting to me. that owns Portofino's, he was involved. We have a lot of people that had started to establish their business here long before us. Mm-hmm. Chad from Chapel, who was on the South, he was involved as well. So, and we just wanted to keep things neighborly, you know. Mm-hmm.
So did it take a little while to kind of gain momentum and for people to understand what Midtown was?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It goes back to like I was talking to you the other day when you first came over, it goes back to, oh, she's a beautiful star that just instantly appeared. No, we got the ball rolling about 2 years, 3 years, 2.5 years before everybody started hearing about it. And we had a meeting a couple times a month. You know, and if those can make it, because we're all small businesses, you know, everything's pulling in our directions, marketing, research, buying, you know, hiring, human resources. That's what a small business does. Mm-hmm. And we get pulled in 1,000 directions, so we're not always available. So yeah, there was about 2 years of prior stuff that most people don't even realize was happening.
So, what was the impact of the recession? I mean, it was happening about the time that Midtown was getting off the ground, and these are all small business owners. Did that play a major role? I'm sure you were all aware of that. Or on the other hand, did that make the property more affordable?
It did. It made it, you know, there's peaks and valleys in everything, you know, and the, you know, with the fact of there was a recession, you know, at one level, there was a good thing that my smaller items would sell and people were staying at home. And what do you do when you stay home and the kids go to bed? Watch another SVU or have a little fun. And small business, it has its peaks and valleys and it's constantly changing, you know. And that was one thing about Midtown, it constantly changes to the new. Same thing with RTC, same thing with Reno, everything, you know. So it has its peaks and valleys. You just got to drudge through. You know.
So as the Midtown concept developed over time, different activities became part of the district's kind of purview, right?
Yeah, once Jessica became president, she was very good on the activities level of stuff. She was amazing with it. She's a great marketing person, and she really got that ball rolling. She did a great job.
Was the Arts Walk the first event, or was it?
Oh, you want to know what the very first event is that we had? No. No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
I have to think about that. I don't think so. Okay. I have records around here somewhere.
Did it seem important to have events that would attract the public?
Yes. Yes. And like I said, Jessica was on the forefront of that. She did a great, great... Jessica at Junkies did a great job of doing that. I want to say that there was a couple of other events, small things that we got going beforehand and present, being present at different events that was going on around town as well. Mm-hmm. So
how has the development of Midtown into a very recognizable district with more and more businesses that people are attracted to affected your business? Has it been a very visible increase in business? Do more people walk by?
You know what I love to see is how it's morphed into the butterfly that it is. It has just been absolutely amazing. And it's people are starting to walk. And I think it's important that we get out and stroll and have a coffee and have, you know, a small bite to eat or shop a little or whatever it may be. And it's been nice to watch. It's like watching a baby learn to grow up, you know. Didn't think it was going to be this. I'll never forget that phone call. I'm like, okay, that's it. And literally, I was driving home and getting off on the off ramp, and I'm like, okay, sounds good to me. I'll bring it up on next meeting. Passed. Here we are today. And that's how it was, just making the change in the neighborhood to be different, you know, and for all of us. And all of us have worked very, very hard on it, and at different times, because there was a time that I had to step away from everything because of family matters. And Jessica took a role with it. So, and she did an amazing job, and she brought something new and fresh, and everybody's brought something new and fresh to it. And it just keeps on morphing into this beautiful butterfly that it is today.
And were you an officer in the district organization then? You were, right?
Of the district.
Of Midtown District.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was, what was my title? I think I was vice. Oh, I didn't want to be president. I was vice president. They're like, can we be president? Chris, you be president. Okay, everybody voted. And passed with a majority. I'm not a big lead. I don't want, I like to be behind the scenes.
It's interesting now with the development, the renovation of the bank that's across the street.
I know.
Into a pretty substantial thing.
I know. And it's so funny because I'm out looking for property right now for my mom. And they're like, Midtown. I'm like, and they're like, this is like the great property and the most expensive. And ooh, and ah. And I'm like, what? I go, you know, and it is. It's doing great things. And one thing that Reno has that I don't think any other place has, you know, growing up in Southern California, moving up to Northern California, moved out here. And it's funny, Reno's always been part of my family because my aunts, my uncles, my godfather, my godmother, everybody's here, all my cousins. And we were the odd lamb or whatever you call it, odd sheep. And so we always come here for all the holidays and stuff a couple times a year. And it's so accepting and it's all okay. I would never be able to have what I have if it wasn't for Reno. And I travel a lot with my business. I travel all, you know, I'm leaving to Iceland tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Vegas. But I travel a lot and I go to, but it's so nice to come home. It's so nice to come home to Reno. Reno is really home and it's just so accepting. I was burglarized and we caught the burglar and I'm at court, at his court hearing. I'm like, you could have came to Reno and you could have changed your life, you know, because people are so accepting and there's so much work out here if you just do it. I go, you screwed up, you know, and he, you know, and the judge turns around and goes, good point. I'm like, you could have changed it. Cause that's one thing that's so great about Reno is that everything's okay. You know, you want to do this? Fabulous. You want to do this? Fabulous. You know, we support you. And it's so funny how many people shop small business here in Reno. It's a custom that what we do, we try not to go into the big box stores. We try to shop, you know, the markets that are smaller, we go to the small mom and pops. We don't go to the big change as much, but a lot of people make a very big active point of that.
So who do you find your customers are? Who are they?
Locals. Majority of them are locals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny too. And then repeat customers from people that have staycations out here. And it's wonderful that, and I go, you're going to love Reno. I go, you should think about retire. Now I stop telling people. I'm like, horrible neighborhood. Horrible.
Do you get all ages?
All ages. All ages from 18 up, you know. Mm-hmm. And just, Reno's just become, it's such a big hub. And it's just wonderful. It's such an artsy town that's just, whatever you are, it's okay here. We love you.
Can we talk about the building just a little bit?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going off on all these things.
It's perfect.
You should have stopped me.
No, I never stop people. They're all wonderful.
I'm like, ah.
So have you had the same landlord the whole time?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you know how long they've owned the building?
Since 1980-something.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're great. They're out of California. And small world that Reno brings. I'm telling you, Reno is the biggest little city. Okay. Back in the 80s, my aunt that lived here in Reno did the bookkeeping for my landlord's sister.
In Reno?
In L.A.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was in L.A. and moved here to Reno. And that's how they had that connection. Huh. And I never knew it. I'm like, oh, I called up my auntie, because now she's in Houston. And I'm in Reno. And that auntie. And I'm like, oh, you know, I rented a place on blah, blah. And she goes, where at? And I told her, and she goes, oh, is that so-and-so on it? I go, yeah, how'd you know that? And she goes, oh, I know her sister. I know them very well. I do bookkeeping. I go, what? She goes, I still fly in to do her bookkeeping. I'm like, you do?
Do you know how or why they acquired this property?
Investment. Investment. Okay. Investment. They do invest. They have family here as well. Okay. And lots of mutual friends. And they're very global people. And absolutely amazing people. Very charitable. It's so funny. About once a year, I send them a, hey, can we get some funds for this charitable, you know, I'm doing this charitable thing that's in this town. Can you send over some funds? And I get a check made out to that charitable organization. That's how good these people are.
Do you want to share their names? I don't know.
Sure. Okay. Well, I don't know if I can.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I better not.
Okay. It's probably on assessors, but I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I don't know if it's on a corporation. I don't want to speak for somebody that doesn't want me to speak.
So tell me about these buildings then. You have an intimate knowledge of a lot of these storefronts and the basements and everything. You were talking about a resident of the space.
Yes.
Has been here all
George.
Do you want to talk about that?
George. We love George. George is our resident ghost. And I don't care if you believe if you don't believe in a ghost, you just come here and I guarantee you're going to meet George. I have employees that would not go downstairs. You want me to tell you about incidences? What?
Sure. I mean, I think I'm curious when you first became aware of this. Do you remember? Or someone telling you? Or was it an experience? Were you told beforehand?
No, I wasn't told beforehand.
Okay.
I wasn't told before. It's just, you know, I don't remember the very first experiences because we've been here for so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, it's been a decade. But I've lived with it so long that it's just George. And we have so many instances that occur. He's a jokester. He's a prankster. And he likes to throw things, and he likes to have a party, likes to have a good time. but at Sierra Nevada Chocolate Company, I have this big refrigeration, and there was this subwoofer that was on top of this big refrigeration system. Well, my morning chocolatier made his cup of coffee, is walking back to the kitchen, and next thing you know, it turns on the music. Next thing you know, the subwoofer literally goes up and at him. Okay, about 3 feet away, and it smashes not into him, smashes his cup of coffee, and smashes the coffee mug. Okay, and because George and that chocolatier are not best of friends. but like I said, George is a prankster. I have many employees that will go downstairs and he'll play with them. He'll whisper in the back of their ears and go, hello. And many a times, I think it was last weekend, I had a customer in and it was late at night and we were talking at the counter and I have my toy area and above my toy area is a bunch of adult games. Next thing you know, I had like 3 or 4 adult games just fall off the shelf and there's plenty of space. And she goes, oh my God, did we just have an earthquake? And I go, no, that's just George. It's my resident ghost. But he watches out for this place too. He's very protective. And we think he is the bartender at the Shoot. And about 7 years ago, there was a customer that came in and she was like, oh my God, I didn't know the name. She goes, this is the, and she said the Shoot and I forgot. And she goes, it was the best bar. And there's a lot of history to this bar apparently. And I get lots of tidbits about this bar and I go, oh, and she started talking and telling me stories. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. And something happened and she goes, oh, that's probably just, I forgot his name. And so it's the bad part that she actually gave me the name of the bartender. And cause it like a, we had a paranormal experience at that moment. And she goes, oh, that's just probably Joe, the bartender. And his name wasn't Joe. And I'm like, well, we call him George around here. She goes, oh yeah, he's a prankster. I go, totally a prankster. Totally. I mean, totally a prankster. I mean, he'll, when the antique shop went south of me, okay. She had a cut on many things. She apparently broke a really expensive crystal bowl. And she goes, now you just need to stop with that because that was expensive. And there was no paranormal activity, but she had a customer that came in and she had a chandelier hanging from the wall. And apparently George didn't like this customer either. Okay. Something bad, something or another. This chandelier went off the hook, off the wall and went at them. Okay. Didn't land on them, but went down and crashed a complete chandelier. Very expensive old crystal chandelier. The experiences are endless. I have employees that wouldn't go downstairs. It's just, there's paranormal activity all the time. Things just fall that shouldn't fall. Things that get swished across the midair do. Okay. Come in. You have to just pick up things after George. It's just part of business. Yeah, it's been fun. But he protects the business. You know, he does. He's here. He protects it.
So what other evidence have you found maybe of businesses or tenants that have been here before you? I mean, does it feel like a historic building? Is there, you found the dance floor, I guess, from a previous tenant. Is there anything else? I mean, it's been here so long.
It has. I thought it was here actually longer than what you said, which was a quite big surprise for me. You know, you just learn to go with the old building. I mean, I have had NV Energy out of here. I've had every, you know, all the phone services company there. Can you remove this? Oh, no, we're not touching it. I'm like, it's all just going to stay there? Where's it go? I don't know. Okay.
So there are 5 storefronts. Do they have connected, like, air conditioning and such?
I thought, okay, here's, like, I'm smelling the paint right now because my neighbors are moving in and they're painting.
Right.
You could, the smells do go through the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And from what I you know, we didn't know. We thought at one point they did because they all have this, it's been closed up, but, like, they have this outside, what do you call it? It's kind of like back in the Laverne and Shirley days, you know, how Shirley and Laverne lived down below and there'd be like a little bitty window that's only about 4 or 6 inches tall.
Uh-huh.
And they all have that, which connects to the old heaters that we just block off now. We don't even touch them. It's an old room.
This is at the rear of the building.
Yeah, it's right, actually right here.
On the east side, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's all in the back. And, you know, you just find odd things all the time. So I think the coolest thing that I ever found was the carpeting from Caesars that was in the Chocolate Walrus. That was pretty cool. There used to be a stage up here in Julie's. Don't know what that was for. it was just a separate stage that had been there so long it kind of stuck to the floor, but wasn't quite attached to the floor. But all the dirt and dust and stuff, and so that was kind of cool, and it was really heavy. Don't know what that for. I think that was from a bridal salon that Julie said it was there at one time. So
okay.
Just different things. It's been adventurous.
It's interesting because since you've been here, I think there have been other businesses that have opened in different parts of town. That I wonder. I guess who you're seeing as competition, but I didn't actually realize you had all sorts of behind the scenes things going on too. You've got wholesale and probably do you have online like sales too?
Yeah. Well, okay. So we do have the Sierra Nevada Chocolate Company also has erotic chocolates on the back door. And that's where Chocolate Walrus Erotic Chocolates sells across the United States, all of our naughty chocolates. And we have a great time with that. And it's very fun. Like I said, it's fun to do. And we do have online, and we're working to improve that right now.
So
on our online, but having the brick and mortar is very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it keeps people in touch with other people. It's nice to touch and feel and see and interact with. It's an experience. It's interaction. You know, we can't be always behind the computer doing this, you know, typing at the keyboard. It's interaction's nice. And it's nice to have people come in for, whether it's for sexy time or whether it's for a costume, for a, you know, mystery party, or, you know, or for some chocolate and a coffee. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's very nice.
Do you have other aspirations for your businesses here?
I do. I want to open more Chocolate Walrus stores. And we're looking at opening up Chocolate Walrus store in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah. And we're looking to do that this year. So we're very excited about it. So that's kind of why we did a little condensing, should I say, so it would take less time away, because there's only so many hours in the day. So I don't have to shop for the fashion. And there's been a lady that moved in at the end of the corner. And from what I understand, she's doing wonderful. She's a consignment shop and does bridal gowns on consignment and stuff. She has clothing upstairs and she's doing wonderful and she's a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's given her an opportunity to have a great space. And so we're looking forward to the future. We definitely really are. And it's nice to see what else can start and morph into like Midtown.
Right.
Yeah.
And hopefully these independent businesses can remain. You know, I think a lot of people have expressed some concern about an area becomes popular and then starts pricing out a lot of the entities that started to begin with that kind of made the district.
Well, that's one thing that's been so good about my landlord is he understands that. Mm-hmm. And he's a gem. And so it's not too crazy. You know, I don't think Reno would do that to ourselves. You know, we know we're Reno.
I think that's about all that the questions that I had for you. You've awesome. Been so kind.
Thank you. I talked your ear off. I don't know if I gave you what you needed.
Thank you so much. You certainly have.
Okay.